Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday Evening Bible Study at High Point Church. Boy, it is so good to be with you here today. I am really excited about today's topic. You know, this is the sixth session that we've had in this series of You 2.0, God's Upgrade. And today we are going to continue on what we finished off last week about the tutor, the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said is not only going to be with us, but is going to be in us. So we're just going to go ahead and talk about that topic some more. But let me just share for you just for a moment. You know, it's easy as a person to think that we are all alone in this world. We may have parents or children or family. We may have close friends and relationships. But you know, we need to really let it settle down deep inside of us that we have a real relationship with God, who is our Father, and that no longer is our closest relationship with people. Our closest relationship is with God Himself. And we sometimes, when we're dealing with things in our lives, we try to handle them on our own by maybe remembering something or quoting a scripture or maybe believing for something special to happen. But the truth is, we kind of space that the relationship with the Holy Spirit is personal and He's always with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never, ever turn His back on us and forsake us. He's always with us. And we need to groom that idea. We need to blossom in that reality that that relationship can just be the grandest and greatest relationship that we manifest on the earth today. Amen. So let's pick up where we left off last week, or at least on one of the verses that we left off last week with. And that's going to be in the book of John, and it is going to be verse 17 of chapter 14. So that's going to be on the screen for you. Julie's just put that up. So let's read this in the New King James Version, shall we? And the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you, Jesus says. And so He was talking to His disciples at that time, telling them that the Holy Spirit was with them now through they were seeing the works of Jesus, because the Holy Spirit was with Jesus and they got to see that the Holy Spirit was with them. But they were going to experience for themselves the indwelling of the Holy Spirit personally for themselves. And Jesus was preparing them for that. Let's continue into chapter 14 as Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. So in chapter 14, over in verse 26, Jesus is talking about having peace and the helper that He's going to give to them. And it says in verse 26 and 27, I want you to look at this in your Bibles if you have a Bible. If not, it is on the screen for you over my shoulder. It says, but the Helper, this is verse 26, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Look at this next verse. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now, this is Jesus talking to His disciples about the Holy Spirit is going to be presented to them, that He is going to start teaching them the things of God. But their responsibility is to not let their hearts be troubled and not to let themselves be afraid. So there is a part in this relationship that we have with God that we have to play. It's not just on God supernaturally being God and overruling everything of your flesh and of your old way of thinking and just dominating you and plowing through, making you spiritual. You have a relationship with Him as your teacher and as your the one who is imparting spiritual things into you. And we have to groom that relationship willingly. And one of the things we have to guard ourselves over is that we don't let ourselves get all agitated and worked up and troubled, and we don't let fear get into us, and we don't get afraid in situations. So we have to really groom this relationship with the Holy Spirit so that His influence can really comfort us in our times of need and in special conditions that we walk through on the earth. Amen. If you look further down in chapter 15, Jesus is talking again about the coming of the Holy Spirit in verse 26. And this is what He says. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with Me from the beginning. So in other words, the Holy Spirit is going to bear witness of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is sent to us by the Father. And the Holy Spirit is who Jesus was walking with on the earth. Remember when He was baptized in the Jordan and the Spirit descended down and lit upon Him like a dove to remain on Him? And then Jesus walked with power in the earth. In Acts 10:38, we read about Him going about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. This was by the relationship He had of the Holy Spirit, which was the Father doing these things through Jesus. Because it's the Father who has given the Holy Spirit to us, right? Well, Jesus and the Father were made one by the Spirit of God. And you and I are no different. As we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, a communion takes place that's supernatural. It's more than just a mere human on the earth believing the Bible, quoting scriptures, and are very good at reconciling what the Bible says with their lives and other people's lives. This is a supernatural component that's being added to us as Christians, the relationship with God Himself. So as they went on from this point, Jesus is trying to teach them about the Comforter, about this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit sent by the Father that's going to be with them. And this is what He says in chapter 16 about this Holy Spirit in verse 5. We're going to start in 5 and read through 15. So Jesus is now talking to them about who this Holy Spirit is. And it says in verse 5, But now I go away to Him who sent Me. And none of you asks Me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Jesus just told them He's going to leave. And of course, they're going to miss Jesus big time, because for the last 3.5 years, He's been walking with them daily, healing people, doing phenomenal miracles, rescuing them from situations, teaching them, manifesting things of glory and of God on the earth. I mean, a supernatural realm they've been living in, and with a wisdom that man has not experienced from that day. Nobody knew the things that Jesus was sharing with everybody. He was supernatural in a relationship with them, and they were sad that He was going to go. He became friends with them, and they really loved the relationship they had with Jesus, and they were really worried, not worried, but what's the right word? Sorrowful that He was leaving. So it says, nevertheless, in verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will do these three things. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So these are three things that we can expect from the Holy Spirit. Of sin, because they do not believe in Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but He will tell you the things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and declares it to you. So in other words, two big things here. Jesus is saying that everything of the Father's belongs to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's going to declare everything of Jesus to us. That means everything of the Father's by way of Jesus through the Holy Spirit is ours also. Saints, that's huge. You need to really have a Selah moment. Selah means to just pause and think about it. Everything of the Father, Jesus walked in by the Holy Spirit. And everything that was the Father's was given to Jesus. That's huge by itself. But it was the Father who was doing the miracles through Jesus. And so now Jesus is telling us that everything that was of the Father's that was given to Jesus is now being imparted to us by the Holy Spirit also. So therefore, like I read to you last week, all the things that Jesus did, we can do also. Now that takes a real renewing of our mind and a cultivating of a supernatural relationship with God. And we need that. And we can't just do that on our own. We need something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to let you know something. This is a touchy subject in a lot of places. There are some people that believe that once you just believe on God and believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will be saved and you get 100% of the Holy Spirit and of God at that moment. And there's nothing more that you can get from God. You got it all in that one shebang. Now, I want to let you know, I personally don't fully agree with that statement. I believe that you do get the Lord Jesus Christ, that you do get born again, and that your spirit is made alive and is quickened. I do believe in that. But I believe that we also need the impartation of the teacher. We need a secondary relationship with that teacher. Now, can it happen simultaneously as a person believes, maybe gets water baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, all in one shebang? Yes, I absolutely believe in that. And if that happened to you, then it would be just one situation. But I've met countless Christians that have not experienced that. They believed with their heart, but then they had to get a second filling, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then consequential fillings after that by remaining full of the Spirit of God. Because again, it's like a relationship. You have to groom a friendship. You can have a friend and be intimate with your friend and then ignore them for the next 10 years. And you wonder how really good is that relationship if you've ignored them for so long. But if you have a friend that you stay in touch with, that you're always sharing your heart with, and they're sharing their heart with, and you pour into them and they pour into you, this is a good, healthy relationship. And you know that you can ask anything of that friend and they will do it. And they can ask anything of you and you will do it, because that's a great relationship that's being groomed. But many of us don't have that close of perfect relationships. And we from time to time have to meet our friends again and reconnect and stay in touch and maintain those friendships. Well, with God, we need to always be reassessing our relationship, not in does he love me or not love me, but we need to start putting our attention into that relationship to intentionally walk with God and not just be a spiritual person and God is there and I'm here on my own now. So let's go on with this so that I can back up a little bit of the things that I was saying here, because some of you might have some questions about that kind of thing. So as Jesus is talking about them getting the Holy Spirit, who's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And here's the thing. When he convicts the world of righteousness, it's because Jesus has went to the Father. That means that if Jesus went back to the Father, then we are made righteous by the righteousness of God. And many of us need to be quickened that we are the righteousness of God. Because in the world, you don't know you're righteous. You try to be righteous and you walk in a certain amount of arrogance and pride in who you are doing the best job. But God, as we learned before in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that Jesus became sin that we can become the righteousness of God. He made us the righteousness of God in Christ. Therefore, we need to be reminded of that and walk in that truth that we are righteous. And that the judgment, the wicked one is being judged. And that's just the fact of the matter. And the Holy Spirit is bringing these three components, sin, righteousness, and judgment, so that we can be trained, taught, and brought into the truth of what's going on in the spiritual realm. As Jesus went on with his disciples, we know that he paid the price on the cross and he died. And then in the book of Acts, if you'll go with me to the book of Acts, you can look at chapter 1 of your book of Acts, and we're going to go forward into what's going on. Because Jesus now shared that he is going to depart and that he is going to send this Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to us. And so as he did, we know it's called Pentecost, which means 50. So 50 days from the day of Jesus' ascension, or death, burial, and resurrection, how whichever day it was, 50 days later is when the Holy Spirit was sent to us. And they were all gathered together for a feast called Pentecost. And if you've been watching any of the videos of High Point Church, Pastor Trey explained it very clearly that this was the one feast that they only had one day, and that people were coming for all over the place to have this one feast day. And there was many days that they were all probably together, but this one day is the significant, the 50th day, which the feast actually took place. So God knew what he was doing by bringing the Holy Spirit onto the scene at that day, because the most amount of people, as Pastor Trey taught us, would be in that one location at that specific day. And so there they were, everybody together. And back then, you know, they didn't have glass in their windows like we do today. Everything's open. Everything's courtyards and walkways and terraces and rooftops and open balconies. Everything's out open to air in those days. And so everybody's socializing all together in one big mass together. So in Acts chapter 1, I want you to look in verse, we'll start in verse 4. Acts chapter 1, and it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them," this is Jesus, "he commanded them to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Going on to verse 7, "And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" He is talking to his disciples that are gathered there together with him, comforting them that they are going to receive power from God when the Holy Spirit is poured out. And they were familiar with the Holy Spirit because in the book of Joel, it prophesies of this second rain or this latter rain that was going to come upon the earth. And Joel prophesied of this. So they were familiar that something was going to take place. They just didn't know specifically what or on what day. So then in Acts chapter 2, as they're all together, I'm going to start in verse 1 of chapter 2. And it says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And now, no, that's not a small little choir. That was all synchronized together in one room of the same mind, all on the same page, getting ready for something really exciting to happen. And it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, as one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The power of God came upon them like a first from the sound of a wind as a precursor coming before him. Then the wind was blowing and great rumblings. Then the fire came and fell upon them as it licked their heads, the flame of fire. And as it licked their heads, they were endued with power of the Holy Spirit. And they were baptized in the Holy Spirit with fire. And they went forth from that place. And it went on to talk about, as they went out, they started boldly proclaiming the power of God. And that people, the most amazing thing was taking place was as they were speaking, people from all nations and all walks that were there for this one feast heard them speaking in their natural language. Now, these men were not there changing dialects or changing languages as they were speaking. They were just speaking by the Spirit of God. And as they were doing so, everybody was hearing their own language being spoken to them. That was miraculous. That was a miracle moment. And I think there's like 10 different languages that people heard what was going on. And so then in Acts chapter 2, they started to explain to these people in verse 25. And this is Peter preaching powerfully, and I'm coming right to the end of it. And it says in 25, "For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad, for moreover my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the way of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Praise the Lord Most High." He's speaking these prophecies to all of them. And as it goes on into verse 33, in Acts chapter 3, verse 33, of Acts chapter 2, verse 33, he says, "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you do now see and hear." So God promised, and I think I told you guys maybe in the second or third teaching, that when God was dealing with the Hebrews, I think it's probably in Numbers 14, I'd have to look, that he promised that he was going to pour out his Spirit and his glory on the whole world. And he promised he was going to fill the world with his glory. And this was the beginning of the outpouring of that glory by his Holy Spirit. In verse 38 of chapter 2, I want to read to you. "Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." God is no respecter of persons. The same gift that he gave to them back there, he will give to you and I. It's his gift to us. He wants all of us as sons and daughters of God, which he actually calls all of us sons, to be filled with his Holy Spirit and be baptized with the Holy Spirit and power. Amen. So now let's go ahead and look. It is God's will for all of us to not only to be saved, but to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that we can be filled with power. Now, the Holy Spirit is who was with Jesus when he walked around the earth doing good and healing all who were sick of the oppressed of the devil. Now, you and I, in this 2.0 upgraded version, when we receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit, we get that same power imparted into us through that relationship that we have with God. Let that sink in a little bit. Because I want to let you know, I can lose some of you here. Because there's many, many people who love God, who believe Jesus paid the price for their sins. But they are truly just having hope for a future date of being into heaven when they die. And they do not relate to themselves as being endued with power from on high, that they can do the same miracles that Jesus did, and maybe even possibly greater, because Jesus promised that we could because he went to the Father. Now, this is you 2.0 that the natural person gets short-circuited over. It's too much for them. Their yeah buts will start coming in. Yeah but, yeah but, yeah but. And they start comparing themselves with other people in different churches and what they see when they walk out into the world. But I want to let you know, the truth is the truth is the truth. And the truth does not have to be defended. It has to be experienced. And you have to experience the truth for yourself. So let's go on a little bit, shall we? So now we've talked about that Jesus promised us that this Holy Spirit was going to come and was going to endue us with power and was going to teach us things that we never knew and was going to remind us of the things that Jesus said. He would comfort us and he would empower us. And it's our responsibility in this relationship with him to not let our hearts be troubled, nor to be afraid. Now, we need to walk in that peace that Jesus has given us. That's a supernatural peace. It's not a peace that comes from having a full belly and a soft bed. It's a peace from having a close, intimate relationship with God, that he is right there with us and that you are very much alive and awake to that relationship, so that no matter what troubles you see in the world, God is greater than those troubles. Amen. So let's go on now. This Holy Spirit they received. Now, I said earlier in this day that there are people who get born again who think that it is a one-dose thing that takes place. You repent, you get born again, and you get filled with the Spirit at one time. And I said that is true for some people, but not all people. There's a second baptism that takes place. So I think it's only fair to you that we go into the Bible and we look at these other scenarios so that we can partake of this and having a clear mind. For those of you that believe it's one thing, that's perfectly fine. But here's the thing. Are you walking in power? If you're not walking in power yet, then maybe there's more that you haven't experienced. But if you are walking in power, then you're great with that. No problem whatsoever. God is faithful, and I'll tell you what, you absolutely know through your relationship how God is working through you by his Holy Spirit. Go with me to Acts, if you will. There was a gentleman in Acts chapter 8, and he was a magician. And in Acts chapter 8, with this magician, he was watching Philip going about and teaching, and he was teaching in the cities. And Philip was going about doing miracles, healing people, and getting them born again. They were starting to believe in God. And he was doing the work of the ministry, getting people saved. And this guy, Simon. I'm going to start in Acts chapter 8. And let me just start in verse 9, just to give you a little bit of a background here. That this magician was going around and watching Philip, as he was teaching. And it says in verse 9, "But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, 'This man has great power of God.'" But you know, he was a deceiver. "And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries, for a long time. But when they believed Philip, he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. So this magician or sorcerer was with Philip in Samaria as Philip was preaching and doing miracles, and people believed and got baptized. And this guy believed and got baptized also. He actually got converted. And many, many people got converted. Now, I'm not trying to lump anybody in the group with a sorcerer, so don't get hung up on that. It's an example in the Bible of someone who believed and who had witnessed miracles and got saved and baptized in water themselves, but yet there was still more that they were not experiencing. So it went on in verse 14, and it says, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed with them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet," listen, "he had not fallen upon none of them. But he had already fallen on Cornelius' house, so he was already with the Gentiles. But it was almost as if there was a big splash of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem on Pentecost. A big splash. Mighty power went out. Thousands of people were being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, as it came to the Gentiles, it seems as though, as they started to believe and as things were imparted to them, then they could receive of the Holy Spirit. But see, they weren't in Jerusalem at that time. So they have to hear another time about this Holy Spirit so that they can receive this Holy Spirit. He isn't like rain that just falls wherever it may. He is in a relationship with us. He was poured out on the Jews, and then he's been given to the Gentiles, but we have to receive him as an independent issue or an independent anointing or baptism. So it says that the apostles came and Peter and John were sent to them, who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So they asked that these people could receive the Holy Spirit in Samaria. For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then he laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So the apostles laid hands on these people after they prayed for them to receive the baptism, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when Simon, this sorcerer, saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. And it went on to go and talk about how Peter was very upset with him and told him that actually he had a very corrupt heart and that he should pray that God would forgive him of this corruption, because the free gift of God he was trying to purchase with money. He didn't understand the relationship with God yet. So that's one thing. Now, if you turn your Bible a little further and we go into Acts chapter 19, if you'll go with there. Let's start in 18. Acts chapter 18. Now, I'm kind of giving you a lot of information because I only get just an hour on this subject. And I just want you to know, because here's my thing. The whole reason that I'm sharing this with you is because the U 2.0, your relationship has to be with the Holy Spirit. It has to be a real relationship with God. And not just a presumed relationship that you just think that if you think right and if you speak enough scriptures, that power of God will operate through you to give you the power to be well, the power to prosper, the power to operate in miracles. I'm going to show you, if I have enough time here, that there's more to it than that. So let me just finish with this one. This is in Acts chapter 18, there was, in verse 24, now there was a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. John baptized for the remission of sins, for the repentance of sins. He had not yet been baptized in any other baptism. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately than what he experienced. Now, this guy was powerful. He knew the Word. He knew the Old Testament well and was convincing people of Jesus being the Christ. So then it went on in Acts 27, and it says, and when he desired to cross to Acacia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Now, this man knew the Bible, the Old Testament is what they had at that time. He knew it inside and out. And he was converting people and teaching people and getting people over on the side of the kingdom of God that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he only had an intellectual mind and a heart for the kingdom of God. Verse 19. And as it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there was a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. They were involved in the repentance. They were involved in ministering, but they had no idea of this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when they were shared what it was, and they had hands laid on them, they received this baptism, and they were filled with the power of God, and they spoke in tongues, and they were prophesying at that moment by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God manifests in us through at least one of these two things, that we can prophesy or speak in tongues or both. And that happened because the power of God had come on these people. I want to let you know, if you go on YouTube these days, you can see all kinds of videos where people are trying to think that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is passed away and not with us any longer. You can find all kinds of videos of people who talk about tongues, and they say that these tongues are manufactured babblings, and they try to disprove that. But you can also find videos where scientific proof is proven that when a Christian who's baptized in the Holy Spirit prays in other tongues, that an entirely different portion of their brain lights up than the analytical portion of their brain with their normal language. Like in America, we speak English or American English, and our brain lights up in one area when we speak our language. But when you pray in your heavenly language, an entirely different area of your brain lights up. It is an entirely different thing. So if we want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, all we have to do is ask God to baptize us in the Holy Spirit and receive it by faith. Lift up our hands and say, Jesus, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your power. Anoint me to do the work of the ministry. Everything that you have for me, I want to experience, that I can have that close, intimate relationship with you and go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the chances are very, very good that something will start welling up inside of you and start coming up inside of you. And this thing that comes up inside of you will come right out of you in the gift of tongues. And you will start speaking a language that makes absolutely no sense to you whatsoever. It will sound like babbling. It will sound like gibberish. It will sound like craziness. And I want to let you know that is a tongue that is given to you by God that your intellectual mind cannot comprehend. So let's look at a couple of verses about the things that the Holy Spirit gives us when we receive this baptism. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now you're going to have to look in your Bible and really look at these yourself, because it's more than I can just give to you in 1 hour at the end of talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if you look at me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's talking to the Corinthian church. And he starts in verse 1 saying, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Again, this is something you have to pursue. This is something you have to desire, or you won't even know you've got it. You'll have to start operating in this through a relationship with God. He says, "You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. These are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." Look at this verse. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Now it's going to get into these different things. I want to qualify this. The Holy Spirit is not given to you just so that you can walk around with power and do miracles. Just so that you can say, "Look at me, I can prophesy. I know things about you that nobody else knows." It's not about that. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that we will profit everybody else. So here's where I want to tie this gift down with you. Remember in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we were given the ministry of reconciliation, that Jesus paid the price for our sins, so we've been reconciled to God. Well, now it's up to us to reconcile men and women to God. And our teacher, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is our tutor, who is now giving us the tools we need to accomplish this ministry of reconciliation. These are a gift. It's not who you are. It is an impartation by the Holy Spirit that you can operate in these things. So now this baptism of the Holy Spirit that we've received to have power while we walk on the earth, to prophesy, to speak in new tongues, there's a purpose for all of this, and you'll find it in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Along with other chapters in the Bible, but those are the big section that you're going to need to look at your own and see what these gifts are and what you can walk in these gifts. So let me just explain just a couple of them real quickly in this session. There's going to be gifts that the Holy Spirit is going to give to us, and He decides who gets what according to His will, what He wants to do. He knows you through and through. God made you. God made you perfect. He made you just the way He wanted you to be. And He put you on the earth at this time for this section of history. And He knew before He ever started this process, before the foundations of the world, that He was going to want you right now. And everything that you've experienced in your life up to this point is making you perfect for God's use. And as you resign yourself, in other words, you rest, You release yourself into the relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you let Him start using you and teaching you, you yourself and other people. He'll start manifesting through you, and you will be the witness on the earth. You will be the one that other people in the world sees that the kingdom of God is actually with men and women now, today, by the power that you operate in for others. Are you with me? Verse 7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings," different kinds of gifts of healings, "by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works with these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." And it goes on to talk about Him in chapter 12, and in 13 it talks about love, and in 14. Now, this gift of the Holy Spirit is poured out on us in this baptism, and there are things that we can do to grow in our knowledge of God. One of those is speaking in these new tongues. And if you jump over with me into chapter 14 and you look at me in verse 3 and 4, let me just start in 14 and just read the whole thing. It's kind of important. But it says in 14, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Now, prophecy is speaking by the Spirit of God things that you did not know. And you will be able to tell the future, tell of situations, tell of movements of God. It's coming out of you by the Spirit of God. It's nothing your mind has figured out. It's being revealed to you. And as it's being revealed to you, you're speaking it. So you're actually hearing it at the same time the people that you hear it from get to hear it, if you speak it immediately. You can also write it down and say it later, but it comes to you by revelation just like it is for others. "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." Verse 3, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." This is important, guys. So as the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes into you, you can pray in this heavenly language, in these different kinds of tongues. And you can pray in these tongues, and they well up inside of you. And it is your spirit that prays, not your brain. And as you pray in this Holy Spirit, in these new tongues, you get built up in your spiritual person on the inside. And the revelation and the power inside of you starts getting bigger for you. But when you prophesy, you speak in a language that the people in the room can understand so that they can be influenced and say amen to you giving thanks so beautifully. So there's a difference here. So let me just jump down real quick as I end today with this, because this is a huge subject and it can be talked on for months, just these few things I've touched on today. You're going to have to look yourself. But if you'll go with me and just start in verse 12 of chapter 14, I'll end with these verses. I'm going to end in verse 17. That says, "Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." So in other words, his spirit prays, but your intellect, your mind, doesn't understand any of it. It doesn't do anything for your mind. It's only for your spirit that is praying, that you're being built up in spirit. So it says in verse 15, "What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. So again, this is for other people. The tutor is giving us these tools to reconcile men to God, and these gifts are for other people to be brought into the kingdom. So he's given us tongues so that we can be built up, so our inner person can be energized, so our inner person can have more revelation, so our inner person can see further, like a generator being cranked up, so we can be energized through this relationship with God by praying in this heavenly language, where this other portion of our brain lights up and is active. But since that portion lights up and is active and this other portion doesn't do anything, Paul says, I'm going to pray through this portion of my brain and through this person. So my whole man now is engaged in spiritual activity. And as I sing this way, as I pray this way, now I'm being edified, and the people around me can understand what I'm saying also. And Paul's goal was that we each be built up individually and that we get built up corporately as a group. So the Holy Spirit, our tutor, our teacher, our comforter, is the one that teaches us things that we did not know, reminds us of the things that Jesus has said, helps us in our weaknesses, and empowers us to walk a supernatural life on the earth through an intimate relationship with him. Because it's he that does the works through us, imparting these gifts to us. Amen? So brothers and sisters, I want to let you know that this version of you 2.0, that this teacher has given us the tools to complete the assignment that we've been given on the earth. And that many of us have not been doing the real work of the ministry to the level that we're capable of. But God, our blessed Lord and Savior, he is so good to us, he brings troubling times to us, so that in these troubling times, we can draw closer to hear him, get more energized by his Spirit, that we can have greater revelation on how to overcome the situation that's in front of us, so that we can be empowered to set the people free around us, proving the kingdom of God, no matter what comes upon the earth. Saints, this is really good news. This is really, really good news. And this Holy Spirit that was poured out back in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2 is the same Holy Spirit that's here right now for you and for me. So let's pray now, as I told you how we can pray. Let's sincerely pray together for this baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that you and I can be filled through and through, every cell of our body, with the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ imparted by the Holy Spirit of God. So saints, if you are in a place where you can, close your eyes, lift up your hands and resign yourselves to God. And let's just ask for this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because if you look in your Bible in Luke chapter 11, God said that if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Lord give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So saints, let's ask together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit that was poured out in Pentecost, that you have poured out on all flesh. Fill me from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I give myself to you. Make me your habitation, your dwelling place. that I may glorify Jesus, that I may glorify the Father, and that I may do the works of the ministry with power given to me from you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I receive you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, saints, pray in your heavenly language with me. Don't think, just pray in your heavenly language. Shandora mamama kitara kandora mama kite rambasonda rakshi ina nama namana sinda rakunda rabaki aya amoyeta akai sondori ki ya nana masandari ki nana mokunja babakai ya nata onga kabara mana makai. Saints, I want to let you know, keep praying in your heavenly language. It may not sound like mine or like anybody else's. Your brain may be saying, this is foolishness, this is crazy. But I want to let you know, the spirit of this world says it to everybody, that you're just making it up, that it's not God, that you don't have time to do this, it's foolishness, or there's no power behind it. Those are all three lies that the devil gives to everyone who receives this gift of God. So I encourage you, lift your hands high. Pray in your heavenly language. Be built up on your inner man, that God may be glorified through you, that a washing and a flooding and a cleansing take place inside of you, that you can manifest the kingdom of God on this earth in Jesus' name. Are you with me? Amen. If you are, go ahead and write in the comments, I did it. If you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I did it. In Jesus' name. And amen. We love you, I love you, and God loves you.